just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We're back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. I'm on the road, so I'm recording this this show early, but I'm fortunate to have a guest on the show, as we have had most of this week, Jace from Texas. He's a listener, and he's been on the show a number of times, and it's always a sore for or a sight for sore eyes when he comes in. Actually, you sound better than you look. You're much like me in that regard. But, you know, a couple of ugly old guys talking shit.
That's a compliment.
It was kind of a
compliment. I'll take it, man. I'll take it. Yeah,
It was a half a compliment.
I walk by and people mistake me for Ryan Gosling all the time. So it's just like, it's just, like you and Robert Redford, man. It's just.
Yeah.
It's just the shit we have to deal with.
You know, when my wife and I were young and we used to go to comedy clubs, there was this comedian that he was a local guy, and he called him the angry comic because he's always got this attitude and he's kind of a creepy looking fuck. And he go, I know chicks dig me. I know they love me. He said, I walk through a party, and as I walk by, I hear him say, what an ass.
That's a good one. I got to write that one down.
You got to be a little delusional to appreciate that one. And thank God you and I both are. So Jace is down in Texas. He's bracing for million degree temperatures coming up and hoping to God that the grid holds out. Have you had any problems with the grid as lately down in Texas?
No, but we always get a little email from our public service CPS down here. It's like our power company, and I remember I've lived in San Antonio pretty much most of my life, and I don't remember when I moved up here in the 80s. I don't remember getting when a storm was coming through. Hey, we may lose power, and it's just like they're like trying to cover their ass in case something goes out.
Right.
But no, I haven't had anything. Thank goodness it's held. I just don't understand how we've had in the same election cycle, we had Uvalde and we had the power grid, killed a couple, grandmothers, hate to say it, but it was older people, and our illustrious leader, Greg Abbott, still wins election. So you'll see him doing a bunch of shit against Biden. He did that shit again. He did a lot of shit like him and Rick Perry did a lot of shit against Obama. He feels emboldened. I mean, he's going after school vouchers now. I mean, he primaried those who voted against him or who went after Paxton. But, he's feeling pretty emboldened. So I hope our power grid holds out longer than Abbott's policies, because, I mean, the proof is, I mean, it's been a clusterfuck. I mean, that's all I can say it.
No question. You know, one of the things you were emailing me about before we decided to do this on the show is you're a subscriber to Sirius satellite radio, and you listened to the Joe Biden Howard Stern interview, and I talked about it on the show a little bit. I didn't listen to the whole interview, but you bring up an interesting point. There was a time when we had three networks and maybe we had four channels. And if you were going to tell a story or get some exposure, you had to be in one of those worlds. But nowadays it's much different. We have podcasts, we have satellite radio, we have all kinds of streaming service and stuff. So you have social media, which allows people to get their own promotion. It allows some knucklehead like me to have his very own fucking podcast. But you brought up that particular interview, and you seem to be pretty impressed with what it is. So why don't you give us a rundown of your thoughts on that particular interview?
Yeah, last Friday, Joe interviewed Howard. And I have to give, I know Howard, he's known for, strippers and, when you're a young man, you kind of pay attention to that stuff. But Howard's really grown, he still does the hijinks, and he has a lot of, people that do like, I guess, impressions. And he had to get on there with Joe and go, hey, this is actually real. Cause he's had Biden and Trump impressions, right. Alex Jones. And I was home last Friday cause we have a parade here. We get off every April, you know, San Antonio, they just have an excuse to party. So there was what they call a battle of flowers, which is like, you know, just a good day to have a good day off, which I'll take. So I ain't complaining. So I got I was looking in and I listened to Howard. He usually works Monday through Wednesday, you know, 4 hours a day, good schedule if you can get it, make millions. And he had Biden on there. I saw that Biden was on there, like, oh, cool. And I got a notification about it. So I checked it out. And so I didn't really listen to it on my phone. I listened to it on the app on my TV. It was Joe. I think Hillary eventually did the Biden, did the Howard Stern show. And I think that would have helped her a lot.
Yeah.
Because she really came out with a bunch of, you know, it humanized somebody. I always thought that back when I was Republican, I thought Bob Dole, if he would have kind of done that, he could have maybe had a better chance against Clinton. Because Bob Dole obviously isn't a MAGA, you know, MAGA. He was, you know, from that older generation, you know, that, you right. know, weren't, a, you know, they weren't suckers, as Trump would call, you know, the military. And he just talked to Joe. Joe was relaxed. And he talked a lot about kind of what he went through. You know, I mean, a lot of people forget the personal, they know about Bo, but a lot of people forget that he lost a wife and he lost a daughter.
Right.
Back when he was a young senator, and he just, you know, he went through that. And, you know, Howard has always talked about how therapy's always helped him. It's helped me out. And he talks about, well, did you ever feel suicidal? And Joe said, he didn't hold anything back. You know, he just pretty much opened up. It really humanized him. It wasn't a got you interview. I mean, Howard literally, like, you know, called him the father, the country, which, you know, he is right now as president, right. You know, and, you know, just really talked about the stuff he's done. And, you know, he had Donald Trump on there back in the day, you know, back when he said he wanted to fuck his own daughter. I mean, Joe didn't say anything like that, but it was just a humanizing thing. And I think it was Joe's attempt to get around people like the New York Times, who, I don't know if you've heard, but there's been like leaked messages saying that, you know, always go on his age, always go on his age. And I subscribe to the Washington Post, and I forget her name. She there's a writer on there that's always calling out the New York Post, and the New York Post, I mean, it's like they've normalized Trump, but they you know, like, you know, the great Sarah Palin once said, TikTok journalism, or what'd she say, or nitpick journalism.
Right.
I mean, they try. I mean, it's like, you know, and what a lot of people, you know, aren't talking about, and the New York Times should talk about this more, is Trump's interview with Time Magazine.
Right.
You want to talk about a freaking shit show. And I know you used to get a lot of, you know, a lot of emails on the Project 2025. I mean, he's not even trying to hide it anymore.
No.
And it's just like, oh yeah, well, Joe Biden tripped, or, you know, well, Joe Biden, you know, he's older, and they act like he's 10 years older than Trump, and he's only a few years. So it was, I think what the Biden campaign is doing, I think they needed to do stuff like Stern. You know, Stern's not the, you know, the guy that goes out to destroy people anymore. He's had interviews with, you know, great celebrities. I mean, he had this week, he had Pearl Jam, he had Bon Jovi, he had Biden. I mean, talk about a lineup.
Right.
And he's one of the best interviewers, and he's just, you know, and Howard always talks about that. It's like, you know, we got a lot of fucking nut jobs in this country. I mean, how can it be even this close? And we know the polls are shit. So, I mean, it was a really enlightening interview, and it's free. I sent you the link to it. So you can post this on YouTube.
I will.
But I think they wanted to wait a week, and they wanted to wait a week, and then I sent it to a couple of my friends, and it's just, he's kind of wrapping up the Stern. So I got to kind of give him credit for kind of getting me out of that kind of Republican hole. Cause I kind of got away from the whole Rush Limbaugh thing. And I just remember when, you know, they started doing Obama, the magic N word, you know, and then he started making fun of Michael J. Fox,
right,
for, you know, saying he ripped it. He was faking his, you know, his illness. And I just saw another side of it. I got a new vehicle, and they had Sirius on there, and I started listening to Stern. I've always followed Stern, but, you know, with technology, you can actually listen down here. he started talking about Hillary, and he started talking about how stupid, you know, when Pizzagate was going on. And I started listening to him, you know, besides the fart jokes. I mean, the guy made a lot of sense, you know. I mean, it's I would highly recommend somebody, any your listeners, check that interview out, because it really, I mean, not that he needs normalizing or humanizing, but that interview should be what the media is doing, you know. And it wasn't a puff piece. I mean, he asked him, you know, questions. It's been about a week since I listened to it. So, but I mean, it's free. You don't have to pay anything, but I would actually recommend Sirius XM if you got $10 extra, because there's another guy I listen to. His name's Michelangelo Signorelli, I think his name is. He's on Threads, and he's like you, Boomer. He, gives the good news, talks about how the media is making a big thing out of shit. He has a lot of people to back that up, that, you know, we're seeing stuff that we're not seeing on NBC or even MSNBC. But I mean, it's like I told, my mom was freaking out about something, I think, when they did that Supreme Court thing, and I go, God damn it, turn off MSNBC, mom, and turn on the Rational Boomer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is, and I've said this before, is the whole era of journalism is gone. There really isn't any true journalism out there. There might be a few reporters here and there that give it a try, but they're doing it on a mainstream media outlet who's still more concerned with putting on Donald Trump or anything that's going to grab ratings and make them money. It used to be, when I got into this business, they called it broadcasting. But the way that it's kind of fractured, and you've got podcasts and you've got all different kinds of media, social media, it really comes down to narrow casting at this point. Because you can, I mean, if you want to talk to a group of people between 45 and 65, I got you here on the Rational Boomer podcast. If you want 22-year-olds, it's not going to do you any good. So when we get the younger politicians in here and they understand how the media is different everywhere you go, and you can focus on certain groups, when somebody masters that, they're going to own this country politically. Because, you know, you can go certain places, and Joe Biden's old school guy. He thinks, I go to a speech, I go to an interview, and I hit everybody. But that's not the case. We found out with Fox News that if you only listen to Fox News, you only get half the story, and it's probably not a true story. There's a lot of things that could be fixed with media. I don't think it's going to be fixed. So it's a matter of being a politician or a communications person to understand how to game what it is you're dealing with.
I think a lot of the media's problem is that they have got to compete with they had to compete with the Rush Limbaughs, the sadly Charlie Kirks, yeah. Not so much the Howard Sterns, because that's just more entertainment. But there's so much. It's kind of like cable TV, you know, that you get into a TV show. And my practices has been that, you know, I have to a show to have a few seasons and end, because you get into a new show and it gets canceled, even though, you know, you got like, you know, 5-6 million viewers, but it doesn't have the 30 that, you know, like Monday Night Football has. I mean, it's kind of like the music industry. You don't really, everything, like you said, it's kind of a here and now. I want my fix now. I mean, bands don't have a chance to develop, you know,
right.
And you know, there's so much competition for the guys out there. And, you know, we have a culture, and I'm guilty of it too. I mean, it's a pro wrestling culture, and that's what kind of the MAGA culture is. I mean, there are people that literally think wrestling is real. I mean, there's same right. people that, you know,
they're all Trump,
it's real when
too.
They, yeah, well, I kind of like wrestling, I'll admit, but, you know, I know it's theater.
Right.
And, you know, but you have a lot of people that they don't, that's why Trump was so, he did wrestling. That's why he's good friends with Vince McMahon. I mean, Vince McMahon is actually more of a self-made. He actually took the money his dad gave him and actually made something out of it. But it's that whole thing to where there's a competition for the eyes and eyes are in the window to your soul. So it's like, well, we just can't report that, you know, about this, about Trump, you know, that he's losing or he's whatever. So let's find this obscure poll and, you know, put that out there. But, you know, I've noticed something too. And I've kind of like even quit like reading some of the people, even the websites like Mediate. I mean, I like Ross Story. I like, you know, I read Drudge. Drudge is no fan of Trump. I mean, he's pretty impartial. He puts the link out there for you to decide.
Right.
But Mediate, they're getting to a point to where they'll say something really stupid. And you read the comments and it's like the people that read that are like calling them out for being sensationalism.
Right.
It's all about the dollar, and it's all about, and you know, democracy be damned.
Well, here's the deal. When I was young or younger, you would see people like Morton Downey Jr. You know, he'd come on and he'd talk about different yeah. things, and he'd be crazy and wild, and there'd be fights and stuff like that. Or you deal with some of these other sensational shows. But nobody thought of them as mainstream media. They knew what it was. They knew it was a show. Those people that were doing those shows, those types of people, are now on mainstream media because it's become more tabloid. And because of it, the fact that it's more a show than it is a news source, this is why people get caught up in it. And this is why people are misinformed horribly. The quality of the talent in the media is weak. I've noticed that too in radio. I worked in radio all my life, and there was always really good people in radio. And I've been noticing lately the quality of the radio announcers that you hear in radio stations aren't as good as they used to be. And I wondered why. And then I realized far fewer people are listening to terrestrial radio. So there isn't the money. They may be the highest rated station in town, but they're got about a third of the ratings of somebody in back in the 90s. So the money just isn't there. And I think mainstream media, the cable shows and stuff like that, they're losing viewers and listeners by the handfuls every day. So they're kind of desperate to do whatever it takes. That's why they're willing to do anything. And unfortunately, we're misserved when they do that. And I don't know how to fix that. People are, you know, I get people coming to me every day. And at first I thought it was silly. And then I got it. They'll come to me and say, I don't even watch the news anymore. I just check you out on TikTok. And I go, well, that's fucking crazy. And then I caught myself. I get a lot of my news on TikTok too. You know, I just want the quick story. I just want to know what the facts are, and then I can go build my story later by doing further research. I don't want to sit through 20-minute stories just to get to one point. And unfortunately, that's often the case with mainstream media.
And the thing about, you talk about the radios and everything like that. I used to work for Clear Channel Communications back in the day. Mm-hmm. I did like payroll tax 2 years. I mean, it was, I tried to get in that company and move up, but it was just, I mean, that was back in 2002. That's back when, you know, the height of Rush Limbaugh and, you know, Jim right. Rome before he left. I mean, it was like premier radio. And you think about, and you talk about, you know, your Clear Channels, but I think what people is actually more dangerous than, like, you know, Fox. And I think, were you the one saying it, that I think it was on your last podcast saying that, you know, Trump was in that interview and that guy asked him the question and he got all pissed off. I don't know. I heard it somewhere, but he got all pissed off because they actually challenged him on something right. and he, they see Fox local. I'm guilty of that. I see, oh, Fox, well, that's a Fox affiliate. Well, the Fox affiliates aren't in bed a lot of times with Fox News. Not even Fox Sports is like that. But there's another company, and it's called Sinclair, and they own right. a lot of radio stations and TV. And if you just you watch their I watch their local channel, and they slide in these like little it's not a, like, you know, what Fox does, but they slide this that little bit of, you know, Biden, you know, thing. And there was a actually Joe Rogan even talked about it. It was like showing all these like TV stations that were pretty much saying the same damn thing. And they were all Sinclair, because it's like Sinclair kind of slips under the radar because, you know, Fox is so obvious about it. Sinclair is not. But I see stuff like, oh, the Freedom Desk. It's like, it's just like what Fox News does. It's like right. what OAN does. It's what I used to read Newsmax, because a long time ago, Newsmax wasn't crazy. Neither was Breitbart when he was alive. When he died, you know, he'd call out Republicans and everything like that. But when he died, that it went to hell.
Yeah.
And no it's question. Just, it's, they gotta compete. And I have a question for you, Mike. NBC is kind of different from Fox because they try to play both. They got the MSNBC brand, which is obviously liberal, except for Joe Scarborough and Michael Steele. Right. But they had a story, and I don't know if you've seen it, but they had a story, and I don't know if it was a meeting today with Trump donors, but they were saying they feel real good about flipping Minnesota and one other state. I couldn't remember it, but they said they feel real good about it, that they think that they can flip Minnesota to the Republicans.
Yeah. That's
and I was like, you know what? That's a question I got to ask Mike.
That's not going to happen. We have a liberal governor who's very popular because, I mean, see, that's the thing. They just say shit and they have no idea of whether that's possible. You got to remember the state of Minnesota did some amazing liberal shit in the last 2 years. They legalized marijuana. They guaranteed money for health care. I mean, they were praised for all the liberal shit they did. How they think that they could flip it to be Republican is absolutely ridiculous. If you go to Minneapolis, St. Paul, Rochester, Duluth, any of the bigger towns in the state, they aren't going to be red. You're going to get pockets of red, like in the northwestern suburbs of Minneapolis. There's some small pockets, but there's not enough people there. This is what I'm saying. They just say shit in hopes to kind of influence something. Like I keep hearing about this, and I did a TikTok about it today. How people keep saying, oh, Joe Biden's losing the young people because of his stance on Israel and Hamas. And, you know, I pointed out to people that maybe young people are worried about what's going on in Israel-Hamas, but not more than they're worried about overturning Roe v. Wade or losing democracy. No. Don't tell me they're more important than that. And that's the thing, is people keep putting this message out. And I was talking to millennials at the time. I said, so you're mad at Joe Biden and you don't want to vote for Joe Biden. So then tell me what your play is. You want to vote for Donald Trump? Donald Trump is besties with Benjamin Netanyahu. It's just going to get worse if you vote for Donald Trump. And it's never going to go away because you will lose your power, your freedom, and your right. And then I said, well, maybe you want to vote for a third party that will never win, has never won, will never win. But that vote then goes to Donald Trump indirectly. And you're back in crazy town. I said, you know the problem with people in this country? And it's all ages. They have fucking no patience. They're like incorrigible little children. I want what I want, and I want it now, or I'm going to fucking pout. I said, when you get older, an old guy like me, you realize you don't get everything right away. Sometimes you have to take the necessary steps to get to what you want. If you go the Donald Trump route, you'll never get what you want. You'll lose everything you have. If you don't like Joe Biden, cool. I have some things about Joe Biden I don't like either. But you vote for Joe Biden, you get to save democracy, you get to save your freedom, and we're at least on the right track. And then, after the 2024 election, when we've got democracy saved, then it's up to you, motherfuckers. You're the young people. You got all the votes. Vote out every senator and every House member that you don't like and put in the people you want in the age range you want. And then in 2028, elect a younger president. I'm all for it because I don't want to be responsible for these young people's destiny after I'm dead and gone. You should want to do it, but you got to take the proper path. You can't just pout and say, I want what I want now, because you ain't going to get what you want now either way you go. You got to be smart about it. Take the right path and do what you need to do and be a little fucking patient.
And to kind of, you know, piggyback off what I taught about NBC, they also had another story that I saw the other day. You know, here I say I'm avoiding mainstream news, but, you know, I'm a news junkie. I'm a political junkie. I mean, I have to look, you know, and I don't like what I see sometimes, but there was an interesting story that NBC did a poll, and they said, yeah, the millennials and the Gen Zs or whatever, they're not really happy with what's going on, but that's not going to change their vote.
It's like,
that's what Mike said. Yeah. And it's like, that's not going to happen because, and it's like you said about, you know, Trump's freaking out now because RFK Jr. is taken from him.
You know, which is what I said too.
Yeah. I said that too. RFK Jr. kind of said something to where he wanted to work with Biden to like freeze Trump out. So I was like, man, is this a sheep and wolves, wolf and sheep clothing, you know? And it's like, and that's one thing about Biden, all these people, you know, and God bless them, you know, like, you know, it's like, some of these Republicans, you know, not so much the Lincoln Project, but some of them are, well, you gotta be strong on this. And it's like, well, no, Joe Biden's going to do what, you know, I mean, you do have a right to protest. I mean, it's like, and you have people down here like Abbott that are arresting people, throwing them in jail. But, you know, for the longest time, I always told Republicans were rights to assemble, you know, and, you know, in January 6th, you know, that was just a protest. And it's like, and a lot of these are just third party agitators that are, you know, trying to, you don't think Putin's sending people over or, you know, China, right. You know, it's like you said, sometimes you say this shit and you're like, God damn, I sound like a conspiracy theorist. But I mean, it's like Putin's in a fight for his life, you know, because, you know, we're funding Ukraine. I mean, it's like, you know, Putin's working his magic because goddamn, the girl that was from Ukraine voted against it. I mean, it's right. Like, son of a bitch, boy, you've reached over here. But it's like, I think you're right. I know you're right that they're not going to vote for RFK Jr. unless you're anti-vaxxer, you know, and there's a lot of people that are anti-vaxxers and a lot of them are dead too. But I mean, it's like you said, Trump has done nothing. And what the media, they hark on this. Well, you know, and I see this stuff when Biden overwhelmingly wins. I think that last one was Arizona or New Mexico. I get those two mixed up.
Right.
Where Nikki Haley had like 115,000.
Right.
And so what does the headline on CNN go? Well, you know, that primary showed that Biden and Trump have a problem. And I'm like, well, I just saw Trump having a problem. You're going to have your protest votes, but ultimately those people are going to vote for Biden. You know, AOC said it. She's not happy about the Israel thing, but she's going to support Biden. And I think a lot of them are going to do it because I think a lot of them are smart enough to see this shit. If you don't vote for Biden and you vote third party or whatever, I mean, it's just, you know, you think they call him Genocide Joe now. It's going to be Destruction Don if he gets in there. And he's fucking said it.
Oh, he said it. And he's buddies with Benjamin Netanyahu. And you guys hate Israel. So what? I don't know what the fuck you're thinking. I mean, the thing about it is with RFK Jr., everybody's so worried about him. And, you know, the Republicans said, well, he's a Democrat, so he'll take away from Joe Biden. What do the Democrats do? They go, oh, my God, you're right. You're right. I said, whoa. Hey, hold on a minute. He's an anti-vaxxer. He's a conspiracy theorist. He's more in line with the Republicans. Oh, no, he's a Democrat. He's a Kennedy. He's going to take away from the Bidens. Until recently, where they said, holy shit, he is going to take away from us. So now the Republicans are trying to kill RFK Jr., and he's trying to go the other way and say, hey, let's go work together and beat up Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, RFK Jr., if the Republicans don't need you, Joe Biden sure the fuck doesn't need you. You're not trustworthy. You're not sane. Your own family hates your fucking guts. So take a long walk off a short pier. I'm not even convinced he'll be around at in November because the money will dry up. Nobody likes him.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, they think RFK Jr. is gonna you know, really do damage to Biden because he's a Democrat. Well, older Democrats voters like yourself and like me, you know, they know, you know, he's anti-vaxxer and that he's not a true and true Democrat. And the Gen Z and the other younger generation, who the fuck are the Kennedys? I mean, it's like, they're not going to vote for him because he's a Kennedy because they don't know who the fucking Kennedy. I mean, how long has John F. Kennedy been gone? I mean, they're Kennedy.
61
I mean,
years.
They think it's something. Yeah. I mean, Kennedy, I mean, it's like they don't think about that. And then it's ridiculous.
Well, and see, that's the thing about this. And this is part of what I'm saying. You hear about Joe Biden losing young people because of Israel. You hear about these polls. if you track back all these stories or all these rumors, I guarantee you they track all the way back to a Republican one way or another.
Yes.
I mean, it's like the TikTok ban. They got it in this bill, and now they're trying to blame it on Joe Biden. But Joe Biden did it because he had to get the Ukraine thing done, and they knew they would never enforce the bill. The bill won't work. But who wrote the fucking bill? A Republican. Johnson. This is how they do everything. It's all about optics or perception. They have no substance. They have no policy. They have no platform. So it's all about trying to make their opponent look bad. And in this case, it's Joe Biden, but it's been everybody else. That's all they know how to do. They're like mean girls in school. That's all they fucking are, is mean girls in school. Oh, she's a slut. That's basically all they're doing with no basis of truth. And so when I start hearing, oh, all the young people are going to vote against Joe Biden, and I hear Democrats saying that to me too, I go, wait a fucking minute. Where did you get that information? Well, I heard it on the news. Well, that's your first problem. Where did they get it? And the fact is the Republicans have been pretty good at messaging and drowning out everything else and making people believe stuff. First, they make their own people believe it, and then it gets around so long, even Democrats start to buy it. I don't believe for a minute there is enough young people that are mad at Joe Biden to not vote for him that make a difference. I don't think RFK Jr., even if he did take away from Joe Biden, would do anything, because I think Joe Biden, given all the circumstances, is going to win huge. He'd have to get a lot of fucking votes, even more votes than Ross Perot, to actually impact Joe Biden. And he's not going to affect Joe Biden. He's going to affect Donald Trump. And we know this because he's scared shitless about it now.
Yeah. Think back in the old days. I mean, I tell you, I used to think Hillary killed Vince Foster. I mean, I was like, well, you know, the kind of, you know, and I liked conspiracies as a kid, but I got up older and I was like, you know what? I'm not fucking important enough for them to be tracking my dumb ass, you know? And I think people's self-worth and their, you know, they think they're bigger than what they are. You know, they're a bunch of mini Donald Trumps that, you know, the thing about is that, you know, those people, like we're talking, think wrestling's real. They think, you know, they don't like to get outside their comfort zone. They like to, you know, hear what Fox News tells them.
Right.
And it's like you can tell that's true, because when you bring up something, I was talking to some Republican, and I think when they were telling me, you really think Biden's going to win? I go, yeah, I think he's going to win. He goes, what about this? What about this? I go, you know, as much shit as Biden's got on him, Trump's got like 20 times that shit.
Yeah.
And people, and I don't care what the media says, because I'm still seeing reports, well, this, you know, this criminal trial may help him. And it's like, what fucking planet are you on? People get tired of people. And you said it best, Mike, a few weeks ago, we love to build people up, but we love even more to tear them down.
Absolutely.
And he has looked so weak in this trial. He's bitching about stuff, and he's finally met a judge that's not taking his shit. And I think he really wants the judge to like go off the handle, piss the judge off, throw him in jail. Yeah, I think that's what the prosecution is saying. No. Let's get through this trial, because we've already through 3 weeks. We only have about, what, another month and a half, maybe?
Maybe.
And it's like, and especially with the shit that went on yesterday, I mean, or the previous day in the trial, it's going to be fucked. I mean, he's looking weaker all the time. And, you know, that diaper can only hold so much shit. It's about to burst.
And, you know, that's the thing, is that the trial is going very well. Every day he gets devastated with more information and more evidence. It's going very badly for him. His own, and it's coming from his own people, which make it even more credible. I'm sure the prosecution doesn't want to fuck this up and put him in jail and then create some other brouhaha about, you know, noise in the ether. It's not so much that if they put him in jail, they got to stop the trial. They don't. They just pull him out of jail and put him in the trial every day. But that's going to create another mess. I mean, there may come a point where they have to, where he just won't shut up. But you've noticed in trial as of late, he's been pretty quiet.
Yeah, I think
he's nervous about the prospect of what this judge will do. And you know why? It's because the judge isn't going to accept bullying. If you have a bully, they yell at you, they scream at you, they threaten you. And as long as you curl up and let them run over the top of you, he's strong. But the moment you push back, those fuckers become cowards. And that's what this judge has done to Donald Trump. He said, no, bitch, I don't care who you are or what you say you've done. You're not doing this. And if you do, you're going to pay a price. And I think he believes this guy. I think he believes there's a price to pay. And he's a coward because he's a bully.
Lawrence O'Donnell had a good thing. He was actually there on a Friday night, which is not very common for him. But hey, when you're Lawrence O'Donnell, you can take one days off. He was talking about Hope Hicks, and he was talking about the girl that actually has to work in the court to actually go through all the social media posts.
Right.
And he was talking about Cassidy Hutchins, and he was talking about how Cassidy Hutchins tried to beg to stop January 6th. And how this girl, he didn't say her name because he didn't want MAGA to go after her. But those are the kind of women and girls that women should, you know, people in general, not just a woman, should strive to be for heroes. Cassidy Hutchins, she says, you know, she was a Republican. She believed all that stuff, but she's brave. She's braver than a lot of, you know, she's braver than any Republican.
Absolutely.
But Hope Hicks, I mean, she helped create Donald Trump. She, you know, she was the Trump whisperer, as they say. I don't even want to imagine what she did to calm him down. But I heard a pretty good joke for you, Mike, about
Hope
Hicks and Donald Trump.
We're going to take a break here in a minute, but I want to hear the joke first.
Okay. Okay. It's obviously when Hope Hicks and Donald Trump were in the White House, Trump wanted to fuck Hope Hicks. But she waited until the courtroom to fuck Donald Trump.
You nailed that. You know, it's funny. I want to talk about Hope Hicks and the trial when we come back, but we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. We're back on the Rational Boomer podcast. Jace in Texas is our guest today. And I just want to, I've done this before, I'll do it again, give full disclosure. This is being recorded on the previous weekend from when you're hearing it. This might be like even Thursday that you hear this. So we're a lot deeper into the trial as you're listening to this than Jace and I know. So forgive us if we're a little behind the times. I think what I'm going to do, because these are a little out of date when they run, I may do some additional 20-minute, 30-minute podcasts that fit in the middle of the day just to update people on what's actually going on during the week. But I wanted a podcast available every day. I've been doing it every day for a while now, and I'm not going to fuck it up now. So I thank you, Jace, for
coming. Well, we appreciate that.
No,
we appreciate you, Mike.
I appreciate people actually taking the time to listen and want to listen. That's an honor for me. Anyway, you're talking about Hope Hicks, and I wanted to bring something up. Hope Hicks testified in the trial last week, but understand that she was subpoenaed. She didn't want to testify. She didn't really want to go against Donald Trump. And then way back, we had Cassidy Hutchinson, who testified in front of the January 6th committee. Some people are trying to equate Cassidy Hutchinson and Hope Hicks, and there is no comparison. Cassidy Hutchinson was doing the right thing at the right time, and she did it of her own accord. She had a lawyer paid for by Donald Trump, but she fired him so she could just be honest and straightforward. Now, I'm not saying that Hope Hicks wasn't honest, but she didn't like what she was doing. You made a good point. She was part of the support group that made Donald Trump. And up to the day she walked on that stand, she's still a big Trump supporter. She is. But she's young and she's smart and she knows her ass is on the line. Donald Trump will be dead and she won't be 40. So she needs to protect herself, and maybe she wants to do the right thing and not break the law. She threw Donald Trump under the bus pretty heavily. That was pretty damning testimony that she gave. but she didn't like it. And toward the end of her testimony, she started crying. Everybody's wondering, why did she cry? Why did she cry? I'll tell you why I think she cried, because she felt like she was being disloyal to her boss, Donald Trump, as he was sitting right there. And she realized what she's done, and she was sad about that. Not sad about the crimes that Donald Trump committed, sad that she had to call him out. That's just my take.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right, and there's no comparison between Cassidy Hutchin and Hope Hicks, because you listen to the interview Rachel Maddow did with her, or Jen Psaki, one of them. But you talk about the personal sacrifice that Cassidy had to go through. I mean, she had no money; she was on her own. I mean, evidently Hope Hicks comes from a rich family.
Yeah.
And you notice that Trump hasn't gone after, he went after Cassidy Hutchin. He didn't go after, of course, I never knew her, but Hope Hicks, he hasn't gone after. He didn't go after him or her or Pecker.
No.
Because those two probably know where more bodies are buried and, with that. And I think, I will defend Hope Hicks on this. I do think she genuinely cares for Trump.
I do too.
I do think that's why she was crying, but she was complicit, as anybody that voted for Trump still continues to vote for Trump for anything that went on. I mean, you had a lot of people. Say what you want to about Scaramucci or whatever, but that guy got the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah, he did.
He got fired or whatever. Hell, even Omarosa knew that this shit was going on. There were people that worked for him that realized this shit, but a lot of them stayed till the end, and I don't know if they'll be back in the next one. Like if he gets it, I don't think Hope Hicks will, because evidently Lawrence O'Donnell's been in the courtroom along with George Conway, and they're saying that they couldn't look at each other. No, you brought up the fact that the jury couldn't look at him. I mean, he couldn't look at her, and it's probably the one time that Trump didn't stare at her. But yeah, she knows what she did. Either that, or and I read somebody was saying that's the last thing they're going to remember about Hope Hicks' testimony. And it's not necessarily a good thing. It's just that she feels so conflicted that it's just more proof. And she totally exonerated and, backed up what Michael Cohen. She said Michael Cohen was a selfish guy that didn't do anything for the benefit of others. He just did what he was told.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't a compliment. It was talking about how much of a scumbag he was. And that he didn't do anything out of the goodness of his heart, like Trump said. Well, I had nothing to do with it. Bullshit. She confirmed it.
That's a horrible story. I mean, if I was a young kid and I was driving my car and I got a ticket and I stole money from my folks to give to my friend to pay the ticket, they aren't going to buy that fucking story. Why would he do that?
Nope.
Why would he do it? It's just, it makes no logical sense. The thing about Hope Hicks that troubles me about her is that she worked for Donald Trump 10 years. He is a consummate narcissist. I know what it's like to be close and tight with a narcissist. How she can still like or love a guy that she's been that close to, who is that damaged and has done that much damage to other people, says a lot about her. I mean, it sounds like, it sounds like the abused wife who can't leave, it's a neurosis or a psychosis that's going on there. It's like, what do they call that when you're, not Munchausen's, the other one, Stockholm syndrome, you've been in it so long. It's like Patty Hearst and all that stuff. I don't get it. She's been close enough to see who this guy is. And this is not a good guy. I don't care what anybody says. You can't be a good guy and do the things you've done.
Let alone having to put up with that smell for 10 years. My God, it's just, Jesus, God, lady, get a clue. But I mean, she did tell the truth. I give her that. So it's a lot more than what, she's obviously a lot more cognizant of what's going on, that you can't lie under oath. And it's, it's going to be the people that knew him that sink him. I heard the media like, well, is Hope Hicks going to be good? And there's always the media. They're always, I mean, it's like you say, he's not going to run the table on all these charges, but you have people in the media is like, well, that one thing can, you know, now I have a question for you that I don't understand about the trial. So they have, are those charges separate? So even if they get hung up on a couple and they don't come up with them, could there be, will there be other charges that he will be guilty on? So it's not just, you know, all of them at once, right? So he ain't going to run the table.
No, he's not going to run the table. No, each one, they'll say guilty or not guilty. They might say guilty. They might say not guilty. But each one is going to be separate. It's not like a fucking Republican bill where they stack everything in and it's all or nothing. It's not like that. No, they have to have a, they have to have a verdict on each one. And that's why I'm saying there's no, you know, I'd heard, from, that attorney Kirshner, I swear I heard him say that Alvin Bragg has a 98% conviction rate. And then Boris came back and said, no, it's 51. I don't care what it is. The fact is the evidence has been so damning. There's no way any district attorney worth his salt has 34 charges and he loses them all. He would have never brought the case to trial if he thought there were any chance that he was going to lose any of them. Now, I'm not saying he'd get convicted of all of them, you know, because when you get a jury going, they might say, well, we're kicking his ass pretty good. We'll just give him this one and that one. But he's going to get multiple charges, and it's going to be in the double digits. And anything over two, he's done. Anything over one, he's done.
Well, the thing about it, think about the media I keep hearing about and is how, you know, the Democrats are going to be in Chicago and they don't want to go back to the 60s. I mean, it's nothing like it was in the 60s. 60s were, I mean, I wasn't alive, but there was a lot more turbulent. And, you know, Martin Luther King had just been, I mean, assassinated, Robert Kennedy. I mean, it's just, that was so much turmoil going on. And yeah, you're going to have it now, but there's a lot of turmoil going on. But, you know, down here, we had this thing called Fiesta. And back in the 70s, they had a sniper that shot a couple people.
Right.
I don't think he killed anybody. Or he may have. But, you know, they stopped Fiesta, shut everything down. I was watching the news last weekend, and they were saying, oh, these two guys shot each other over a woman, killed them. Huh? The party continued. I mean, it's like been there, done that. We're not quite the innocent. We're a lot tougher, I think, than I'm not saying people in the 60s were not tough, but I think we're just conditioned more.
It's not,
put up with the bullshit.
It's not toughness. It's back then, if you went back in the 60s, if somebody, a millennial from now went back into 60s or 70s, first thing they'd say, wow, these motherfuckers are naive. They don't know anything. What I would say right now, we're more street smart than we were back in the 60s, whether that's good or not. And to suggest there's going to be a problem with the Democratic convention, I would think I'd worry more about the Republican convention. Because if Donald Trump isn't the nominee, there's going to be people pissed off. Besides that, the RNC is having so much trouble with money, they don't know how they're going to afford to put on a convention. And then I just read a story yesterday that said, shit, all the big sponsors are pulling out of the RNC convention because they don't want to be associated with Donald Trump. What if they don't even have enough money to put on a convention? That's a red flag going into the election.
And then, you know, by the convention, Trump may be a convicted felon. You know, how fucked up is it that he won't be able to vote in the state of Florida, but he can still run for president? What the fuck is that? Yeah. You know, I mean, I know Florida gets a bad rap, but I think Texas is probably, I mean, hell, Alabama, Missouri, I've been reading that they're pretty, you know, you hear about Florida being optimistic. But I'm hearing that, you know, they may have a real shot against Jeff, what's his name? Holloway from Missouri.
Josh Hawley.
They're actually kind of optimistic about it. I mean, it's always optimistic before, but, you know, they had like, I guess to get the abortion thing on the bill, they got like double the signatures in a red state like Missouri. On that Michelangelo show, he had the guy running against him up there and. They're optimistic. I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, it's so funny how they always want to give Trump all this credit, but he has a Nikki Haley problem. He has Republicans that won't vote for him anymore. I mean, of course, he's going to have his crowd, but it's like you know, maybe, and look what happened in, and look how pissed off people got in Alabama, a red state. Look at Ohio for the abortion. And now there's like, well, does Biden really have a chance in Florida? Well, fuck yeah, he has a chance. You know, as long as you're breathing, you have a chance. Even Trump said it. Well, I should be campaigning in Florida. You know, you shouldn't have to campaign in Florida. Like, you shouldn't have to campaign in Texas.
Right. Well, the media is doing their damnedest to play bookie in this case, try to balance the odds. And the odds are so far in Biden's favor, in my opinion. It certainly is possible they could flip Florida. It's certainly possible they could flip Missouri. Donald Trump already fucked up Arizona. He already fucked up there. That whole 1864 abortion ban that's now been repealed. But that got everybody up in arms in Arizona. And we've got 70% of the people that support Roe v. Wade down there. And
that law is still pretty barbaric, though, that they reinstitutionalized.
The fact
still
that even, you know, put it this way. That was a red flag to all voters down there that support Roe v. Wade. Yeah, we got it repealed, but it took three fucking times. And if the Republicans take full control, then what will happen? They're scared. And then when they ask Donald Trump says, oh, yeah, everything's great. We just turn it back to the states. Well, you just did that to Arizona, and look what fucking happened. Donnie fucked up Arizona. The Republicans fucked up Arizona. I have a feeling that that's going to go solid blue. More so than, you know, than it did during 2020. It was just barely eked out. I don't think it's going to be that close this time.
Did you hear Trump's getting a little tired of Carrie Lake going to Mar-a-Lago all the time? And you think about Carrie Lake is what's so scary about somebody like Carrie Lake is that she doesn't talk like a crazy Sarah Palin.
No, she's
you
a media
sit there
person.
And you sit there and you listen to her. It's like, goddamn, she almost makes sense. But I mean, I don't mean she makes sense, but she talks in a way like she, you know, she could be telling you, you know, the earth is like flat, and she'd be fucking telling you right then and there about it to almost try to make you believe it, because, you know, a Roseanne Barr or Sarah Palin, that's what everybody, you know, does with MAGA. But Trump liked her a lot, but Trump's now saying, well, shit, this bitch is maybe too crazy for me, like that girl that kills puppies. I mean, it's like,
well, that's exactly it. You know, you got Carrie Lake, who used to be a news anchor or news reporter or whatever she is. She has ability to speak and sound somewhat normal, but she says some crazy shit. I will tell you this about Carrie Lake. She's probably one of the most pathetic humans I've seen in politics. She keeps losing. She tries to pull a Donald Trump. It doesn't work. She's getting chewed. She's crying about that. And the fact of the matter is even Donald Trump is getting sick of her. She's going to be left with nothing. She's not going to beat Ruben Gallegos for the Senate seat. It's just not going to happen. And she's going to lose again, and she's going to cry, and she's going to be pathetic. I made an analogy. You were talking about Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota. Now, this woman, you know, she's a relatively attractive woman for her age, so she's just right up Republicans' alleys and right up Donald Trump's alley. They were thinking of her as a possible VP candidate. And she likes to talk tough. So she writes this book, and she talks about how she killed this puppy that she deemed worthless. And she thought that would be a flex for her, and that would show people how tough and how strong-minded she is. She can stand with Donald Trump because she's strong-minded. But the fact of the matter is she went too far. Democrats and Republicans alike were recoiled by what she said and what she's done. She's pretty much destroyed her political career, at least nationally. She's not going to be the VP candidate. And the comparison I make is you got Kristi Noem as kind of a microcosm for the entire Republican Party. Every step of the way, they do something to fuck themselves up. Instead of apologizing and trying to fix it, they just double down and triple down and quadruple down, and they're just running themselves off a cliff. If you want to know what happens, going to happen to the Republican Party, just watch Kristi Noem's career.
Yeah, and I'm on my Facebook page. I actually did a post. I belong to some political groups. And sometimes I put like a funny meme on your page, and you know, but I don't really get too political, but I'll comment if a friend of mine says something, you know, my page is there, but I had to put a picture cause I got a dog and, you know, I've had her 10 years and she's getting older and I know I'm going to be that day sometime. And I was like, you know what? You know, I just can't believe it. You know, a 14-month-old is a goddamn puppy. That is a puppy.
It's a puppy.
And it's like, she tried to like even make it. Well, I killed goats too. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, well.
Yeah. And, I put that on there and I was like, you know what? Everybody loves their dogs. You know, I love my dog Cherokee, you know, and hell, MAGA loves their dog. You know, yeah. Trump loves Lindsay, you know, that's his lap dog. So, I mean, it's, you know,
Lindsay well, Graham. I made a comment when, you know, when I've had Trumplefux on the show, the few times that I have, I always said that after I got done, I felt kind of dirty and it was so easy. I felt like I was kicking a puppy and that was the most abhorrent thing I could think of. And then of course the Republicans do that very thing.
They
would shoot dogs. It's just incredibly stupid. And then not to apologize and step back. That's the one thing Republicans refuse or just incapable of doing, admitting they're wrong. And that is the worst thing you can do if you've done something wrong, not admit it. Because if you have no contrition over it, people are just going to hammer you. And Kristi Noem, she may think she's powerful and had a future. She doesn't now, not on a national level, because every time her name comes up, it'll be she killed a puppy. And same with Carrie Lake. She's such a goofball and she's so pathetic and she's so needy. She's hanging around Donald Trump just to catch some crumbs. How needy is it that you're hanging around a guy who's on trial for 34 felony charges and you're hoping to get a leg up from that fucking clown? That is pathetic.
You know, from the party that brought you kids in cages, we shoot puppies. I mean, this is like they're trying to top each other. And, you know, it's funny. A buddy of mine, I work with, he's like me, he's kind of agnostic and he's, and I see all these people that, you know, it's like, God dang, Jay, he's selling a fucking Bible. I'm like, I know. And it's like, what is enough? I mean, and it's like, I really don't know. I mean, I'm not a man of God, but I tell people, Trump's about as fucking Christian as I am. You know, he ain't. Right. He doesn't have to worry about abortions anymore because, you know, allegedly, you know, he was, you know, pro-choice for a reason.
Right.
But it's like, you know, and it's like you tell people that it's like, well, you know, Trump used to be a Democrat and anybody else, like, I remember they used to say that about Reagan. Well, Reagan was a Democrat. Oh, you know, but, you know, he wised up. I mean, it's like. It's just with you're going to have those people that just like with Carrie Lake, they're going to make excuses. And what I can't understand is, you know, I have I see these women that, you know, I get kind of why the guys are like that because, you know, I don't like Democrats, but any woman that actually, and I'm not talking about the ones that are the old hags that say, hey, Trump, grab my, you know what? And I'm talking about, you know, people my age and stuff. And, you know, some people would say that old hag too, but they support Trump. And I'm like, people that support Trump should be people like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert, you know,
stupid people.
That's who should be supporting Trump. Yeah. Stupid people. But you have people that, you know, are actually, you know, I guess learned to be simple, but it's just like, I don't know what's going to be enough. And when, you know, I had an argument with people when Trump said about the bleach, well, he didn't say that. I mean, that's, what do you think that doctor was like freaking the fuck out? She says, I'm going to be forever associated with him saying that. And guess what? She is.
She is.
I mean, she didn't tell him to do that, but she, every meme that comes up, or that video comes up, her ass is in it. You know, it's like I said, you know, Amoroso and Scaramucci, they got the fuck out of there. You know, say what you want to about them. But I mean, it's like you have people that, you know, it's, and those people you just can't reach.
No, you can't.
You know, reach them. And it's, I quit trying, you know what I mean? And I used to like, well, you know, and stuff. I'm not like that anymore. You know, what you see is what you get with me. And I'm old enough to like, hey, you know, you know, you don't want to be in my life. I've been rejected by enough women in my life. Goddamn, I know what rejection's like, and I know how to see it. But these people that just and Trump, he turns on every person that's associated with him. Oh, he was let, you know, all this and that. I mean, anybody. I mean, there's like he's like Tony Soprano, in the fact that you know, you're either with me or you're against me. You know, and it's just like you know, he's a wannabe mob boss. That's why he's like scrawling in his, you know, his what mugshot. And even Lawrence O'Donnell said it like right before the camera, right before the media gets there, he's there smiling, joking around at a trial. I don't think he knows what's going to come, but this is why him and the Republicans keep saying, you know, hey, we're winning and all this stuff like that, because they want to leave enough doubt to where they can try something.
Right.
But I tell you what, one thing, I used to get real pissed off about the polls. I hope they keep pushing them in the polls, because that'll keep reminding you, yeah, it may not be close. I still think, like, you're right. I think it's going to be a big blue wave. But we need that reminder out there how close we came to losing our democracy, you know, back then in 2020 and, you know, definitely in 2016. When he gets in there again, there ain't going to be another election.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And the thing about it is I push back against the polls and such. That I refuse to think the people who listen to this podcast or me on TikTok are so stupid that I have to lie to you to make sure you vote. I guarantee you, everybody that's listening to this podcast, and I'm taking a wild shot here, I guarantee you everybody listening to this podcast is going to vote, whether yes. Donald Trump is in the lead or Joe Biden is in the lead. It doesn't matter. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why there's going to be such a blue wave. In 2020, we had unprecedented amounts of people voting for both Donald Trump and Joe Biden. We've never seen that before. And there's only one reason for that. It was fear of Donald Trump becoming president again. This is pre-January 6th when they did that. So for those people who were scared in 2020, and when now we're looking at democracy hanging by a thread, they're even more scared now. Just based on that and overturning Roe v. Wade, that tells me it's got to be a huge blue wave. And come the night or the night before this election, then all of a sudden you're going to see these media people go, oh my God, this is amazing. This is a surprise. And then the big story is going to be how bad Joe Biden beat Donald Trump, and the Republicans got beat by the Democrats, and that's where the dissent goes, and that's where the piling on starts. When they're too weak and they've got nothing more to offer, the media will just fucking bury Trump.
I believe what, you know, people, what evidence do you have? I mean, when you have people turn out in a red state like Ohio, you know, to vote on an abortion thing, because make no mistake about it, it's not just abortion. You got fuckers out there talking about getting rid of contraception. I mean, what the fuck is this, the 1880s? I guess it is. You know, and it's like, you know, even the ancient Egyptians used some sort of I can't say that word.
Contraception.
They used a prehistoric rubber, let's just say that.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and it's like, they're not just, and it's like, you know, and Trump's talking about deporting people, and it's not just migrants. And I tell my buddy, it's like, you know, all these, you know, these Latinos that support Trump, which suppose there's another poll coming out saying that Biden's, you know, picking up that too. I don't think I think it was an outlier that, you know, Trump with Hispanics, there ain't no way.
No.
And maybe in Texas, but I lost my train of thought, but I see with Ohio, you see with what's going on in Arizona, you see people getting pissed off in Florida, you get see people getting pissed off in Alabama, Missouri. I mean, he hasn't really won an election since 2016, because every time he's been on the ballot, he's lost.
Right.
He's lost in his midterms. You know, there's supposed to be this red wave. Hell, that's how I discovered you, is that you're about the only one out there saying it wasn't going to be hell, even Rick Wilson was saying it was going to be a red wave.
Right.
And, you know, now that they laugh at it, but, you know, fucker, I remember what you before the election, but, you know, I can count on one hand, it's probably you, and probably the only one I know about that it said it wasn't going to be. And well, you're saying this now, and you could be wrong. You could be wrong.
I could be but wrong.
Just the evidence we've seen, it doesn't point to that.
If you look at the evidence and you use logic and common sense, with all that's going against the Republicans, it makes no sense that there would be anything other than a blue wave. Honest to God, if I'm a Democrat right now, I'd be more confident about November than any election I've ever been in. This has been an absolute gift to the Democrats, overturning Roe v. Wade, having Donald Trump as the leader, this fucking goofball that's going to be convicted of crimes. Like I've said so many times before, in years past, when I was younger, you had guys cheating on their wives and getting pictures of it and then ruining their careers. Fuck, Donald Trump wishes that's all he had. And the Republicans, you got the House of Representatives where they've accomplished nothing and been embarrassed every time they tried to do something. There is nothing going for the Republicans. There's nothing they can run on. It's all been taken away from them. They can't run on the border anymore because what they did with the bipartisan bill. They can't run on impeaching Joe Biden because that went to shit. They got nothing. And they've got a bunch of shit working against them. Logic and common sense tells you it's got to be a blue wave, just the way things are playing out. The only reason people say, oh, he's got a chance is because they hear it in the media or hear somebody talking about it. Yeah, Donald Trump could win. And then they repeat it, Donald Trump can win. That's why I always ask somebody when they tell me Donald Trump can win, based on what? Based on what data? Tell me what it is that's going to make Donald Trump win. And you know what they say? They always say, well, I just feel it. The way people are talking, that doesn't count. There's no basis to think that he's going to win. It's not even – people keep asking me, and every day I get more confident. I go, there's zero chance he's going to win. Zero fucking – well, what if they cheat? Well, they tried to cheat last time, and they failed. Now people are aware of it and trying to protect from it. There's nothing that's going to work in their favor.
And, you know, when you talk about how that many people voted back in 2020, I think another thing that's going to help Biden out is that that many people aren't going to show up for Trump this time around.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
But I do think Biden will keep, you know, because if Democrats vote, they win. And that's something that I heard. You know, back as a Republican, it's like, well, we got to, you know, focus on the, you know, nobody turning out. That's why they make it so goddamn hard for people to vote. And now Trump, you know, a couple of weeks ago, he was saying, vote in early. And now they're trying to do something in Arizona, I guess, with early voting or something. I don't know. It's something. They're always up to fucking something.
Well, I tell you,
it's like, you know,
they're in trouble in Arizona and Florida. And here's why. The abortion choice is going to be on the ballot in Florida. And I think so. I think in Arizona too, it's going to be on the ballot, which means everybody that's concerned about Roe v. Wade and abortion rights and all that stuff, they're going to flock. It may not even matter who's running for what. That one issue, they are going to flock to the ballots and they're going to vote. And all of them are going to be Democrat or liberal, and they aren't going to be Republican. So Florida and Arizona have basically put out bait for more Democrats to come. And that's why there's a good chance to flip those states.
Yeah. And you got to think about that too, that even Republicans that, you know, are for pro-choice, they may vote down ballot for Democrats because they're so, you know, they may be pissed off with the Republicans because, you know, they passed Ukraine funding. The Republicans have a lot of shit against them. They can't even, when you have, you know, Moscow Marge out there, and you know, she can say that kind of shit because she lives in a district that, you know, they like her, you know, that, yeah, that's the kind of shit they like, you know. But when you have, you know, blue state Democrat, Republican, you know, they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna want to do it. And you said the Republicans haven't run anything. I almost mentioned Ukraine, but it was the Democrats that passed that. It wasn't the Republicans.
Right.
It was in the Republican, and Democrats are smart keeping Johnson in there. He's, you know, and it's so funny how you say you get the, well, if they're, you know, come election day and there's a question and they're going to put Trump up there. Fucking Mike Johnson's Joe Biden's bitch, like Kevin McCarthy was. I mean, right. Biden has, you talk about, you know, a lot of people, I don't like Biden for this and that. Biden's got a lot of shit done for the crazy shit he's had to work with.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, and if he gets in there, I think he may take a chance because, you know, I know he hasn't been too crazy about expanding the Supreme Court, but they got to do something about those judges. I mean, to even consider immunity, I mean, we got away from a king in England to do that shit.
Well, I said,
you know, if that would have been Obama getting up there saying he had immunity, they'd laugh him out of the fucking courthouse.
They said, I said something, I read a story, or maybe an emailer sent this to me, but it's a story apparently. And this sounds interesting. It sounds a little out there a little bit, but maybe not. The rumor is that they're going to try to pass a bill in the House and the Senate that says that if you were a president who was convicted of a felony, that nullifies your judge appointments. And that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. I don't know.
And the Secret Service protection, aren't they trying to do that too?
They're trying to get rid of it. And that seems to be fair. I mean, if you're working at a job, Jace, or I'm working at a job and we've got benefits and a pension and shit like that, but we do something crazy and break the law, they're taking all that shit away from us. They're going to take it away from us. So why not Donald Trump? Why should we protect a guy that tried to overthrow this country? Makes no fucking sense. Just because you had the position that allows for that and nobody else has ever done it, but the fact that you tried, you should pay a price for it.
It's funny, though, that they're trying to pass that bill to where, you know, the judge, you're appointed by Trump or whatever, that happens. But a lot of those judges, I mean, they're the ones that rejected his shit, those filings he did. A lot of those Trump-appointed judges was what helped hold up democracy. Because, yeah, they may be Republican and, you know, they're a rhino, as they say it, but they're not evidently a MAGA fuck, unless you're like Christine Canyon. You always want to say Christy Canyon, but you know that's a long time ago. People are like, "Who?"
I don't. I'm surprised you remember a 70s porn.
Oh, star. I remember. I remember.
70s porn star. I just heard about her. I don't know anything about
that. That's what a friend told me. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. Yeah. You know, you have to wonder if there's going to be a eye-opening moment for the Supreme Court. I said this before, and as much as they are biased toward Donald Trump, at least the conservatives are, and at least they're trying to waste time for him, there's got to come a moment in time when they realize, oh, fuck, he doesn't have a chance. He's not going to win. The Democrats are going to win the House and the Senate. And they're going to come after our shit one way or another, whether they try to impeach some of us, whether they try to stack the court. And I don't even know what the rules to stacking the court are. I don't know if you need 60 votes in the House unless they get rid of the filibuster, too. And then fuck that. It's just a real simple majority. But they got to be looking at that. I mean, Ed told a story one time how when he was trying to pass a bunch of bills, welfare type bills, when he was, you know, the New Deal and all that stuff, and the Supreme Court threatened to shut them all down. And he says, well, you go ahead and fucking do that. I'm going to add some more Supreme Court justices. So fuck yourself. And they said, you know, wait a minute, maybe you're onto something. And they backed off. The question is, will they have the sense to back off a little bit and not be so biased? If this was a normal Supreme Court, I'd say maybe. But what we've seen from Republicans, they don't care if they know they're going to fail. They just keep doubling down. So I'm not sure what to expect out of the Supreme Court.
Well, it doesn't – when you have governors like Abbott and, you know, DeSantis, I mean, what the Supreme Court – they're kind of like what Trump, like, well, if it's for me, I'll support it. If it's against me, I won't. Because – Abbott has done something now to where I think it's new entitlements for the LGBT and transgender youth, protections that he did it. Abbott has been telling the local school districts to ignore that coming down. And I just hope also, I know there's going to be a blue wave, but I do pray that, I mean, I don't pray much, but I do hope that Biden does win and he gets a Democratic Congress. Cause you notice he's been saying that, well, elect me. And he's been talking like You give me a Democratic Congress. I mean, he's already talking like he knows he's going to win. I think he knows he's going to win.
I think he does.
And because in 2016, they had the perfect candidate. It was Hillary. She was so damaged and there was so much shit going on. We didn't know who Trump was. We knew who Biden was, and that's why he won. But I hope he goes after these, I don't know what he can do, but I saw somebody say, well, they don't advise that, don't send federal funding to the school districts. Well, Biden's not going to do that because he doesn't want to hurt the districts. There's got to be something that they can punish these governors, put some sanctions on the governors, not so much the state.
Right.
To where they realize that, the party of law and order needs to follow the law like the rest of us. Because goddamn, dude, if it was me and you, bribing somebody, we'd be in prison.
Right, right.
And yeah, I mean, is this the greatest case against Trump? No. But it's something, and it's what we got. And I don't even think about I hear about the other cases. I don't even think about them because I think this is what's going to sink him, like you said.
Yeah. Well, in 2016, after Donald Trump won, I said that had the Democratic candidate been Bernie Sanders, it wouldn't have been close. Bernie would have beat him. And this is why, because hopefully the Republicans and the Democrats took note of this. One of the main reasons they didn't vote for Hillary, other than she wasn't very likable, she kind of was the essence of establishment politics, and people were getting tired
of Bush.
People were tired of what was going on in Washington, D.C. So they needed somebody who was outside that establishment. The only option was Donald Trump. So they took a flyer on him and they fucked up. Now, if Bernie had been in there, he was a little outside the establishment politics too, but he would have been a safer bet. And people mostly liked him. Hillary still had stink on her from the Clinton era, and she had a personality that she rubbed people the wrong way. And she probably would have been a great president, but people just didn't like her.
She was a woman.
That had something to do with it. But if there had been any other candidate, Donald Trump would have faded off into obscurity politically, and we would have never heard from him again. So I hold the media and I hold the Democrats responsible for putting Donald Trump in the presidential position.
Well, I always say that too. I mean, I don't know if I agree with you about Bernie, because he may be a little too much for people to take on right now, but it was a younger generation back then. So,
That's what I mean. But not Bernie today, Bernie then.
Oh yeah. I mean, you talk about, Bernie Sanders screwed Hillary too. I mean, he didn't get out the longest time. That hurt her too.
Yeah.
And I always thought that if Biden would have run in 2016, he would have won, but he was going through the death of his son.
Right.
I mean, and plus making all those, deals with the Saudis and Russians and Chinese, according to, your boy Comer. And I love how they try to go after him. It's like, was he in office? No. I mean, they want to hang him for freaking giving his son a $4,000 loan. $4,000. That's a lot to us, but I mean, it's like,
it's not that much.
He was coming out of the crack house and trying to get his life together. Hey, son, here's $4,000. I mean, it's like, just because Donald Trump don't give dipshit Junior anything, don't hold it against Trump or Biden.
I'd be in big trouble because I wouldn't even loan it to him. I'd just give it to him. I've got a rule of thumb. There are no loans between me and my kids. If you need the money and I got it, I'm giving it to you. Yeah. I mean,
gotcha.
If you raise them right, they'll pay you back one way or another, if they can. But I've seen too many families argue about, close to me, not so much my family, but other families, where mom will keep a running tally of all the stuff you owe and what your payments are. And if you don't make a payment, it's like dealing with a collection agency. If you want to drive a wedge between you and your kids, just fucking do that.
Yeah. Talking about, I'm getting old, man. I just turned 52.
Wow.
In the month of, the end of April. So it's like, man, I know. And it's funny when they talk about, Trump and Biden kind of like losing their train of thought. And I'm like, well, fucker, you do that too? Not, yeah. I see other people, you know, I tell them, it's like, damn, I mean, it's not dementia. It's just fucking getting old.
Well, yeah. But,
you know, I'm optimistic.
I was talking about that with somebody else. I said, you know, people are giving Donald Trump shit for falling asleep in court. Got to tell you, if you put me in one position and I have to sit there 8 hours a day every day, for, I'm going to fall to fucking sleep. I fall asleep in the car when my wife is driving. So I don't hold him responsible for that because he's 78 years old and he's going to fall asleep. The only thing I give him shit about is because he gives Joe Biden about being sleepy and this motherfucker's falling asleep. So fuck him.
I remember back in probably about 1993, 30 years ago, I was like, what, 22? And I got a federal jury duty. So it's like, you know, back then I didn't wear suits. So I had to wear a, you know, suit. And you know, this is 30 years ago, back when you dressed up for court, I guess. You know?
Right.
Goddamn. I was there for 8 hours for like 3 days. I fucking fell asleep. At 22, I was trying a hard time falling. Yeah. When I'm ever in, that's why I was never good in school. Cause when I'm getting lectured, I just kind of lose my, but you know, according to Trump, he was just resting his beautiful blue eyes. It's like, dude, you're so full of shit. Your diaper's reeking, man. I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's.
I was on a jury for a time and it was a pretty dull case. And I can't say that I didn't nod off now and again because it just got long and boring. But I can say this categorically. I never passed gas. I never shit my pants. I never had any bodily function outside of the bathroom. So for that, I'm proud.
Mike, as a man, I don't believe you when you say you didn't pass gas. I can believe the diaper. I can believe, you know, that stuff.
Let's just say I wasn't caught.
You're a man. You, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
No one noticed. Let's put it that way. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Some people probably noticed. You just didn't see them.
Long as they don't confront me, I'm good.
We're sitting in this podcast and we're defending Trump. What the fuck is wrong with us?
Yeah, no shit. No shit. Well, and actually, we're coming to the end here, so we got to wrap things up. But Jace, I appreciate you coming to my aid and helping me out this week, coming on the show. It's always entertaining when you're on the show. And you were saying something before we came on that you're thinking about starting a podcast too, not so much like this, but something a little different.
Yeah, I'm going to take a cue from you. I'll tell you more about it, but I haven't really done anything yet. But kind of a, you know, as you know, I used to be into the paranormal, and you know, I like a good paranormal, not so much a conspiracy, but a good ghost story. You know, I like to keep up with the news. I love music, of course, politics, kind of just doing like, you know, you see like a lot of people that are focused on one thing, but I want to kind of do a variety. You know, one week I can talk about, you know, Metallica. Next week I can talk about, you know, when Biden, you know, blue wave and stuff. And it's just a multi, you know, thing to like kind of put into a podcast. I was part of a podcast before, but that kind of ran its course. And so I'm just kind of looking at, you know, using TikTok if it does eventually go away, because I don't think TikTok will be banned. I think if anything, China will just, well, it's not going away and they'll have lawsuits, whatever. But if they do lose those lawsuits, it'll just cease to exist like they did in other countries.
Yeah,
but there'll always be something else to pick it up. So it's nothing to worry about.
We survived when MySpace went by the wayside, so we'll be fine.
MySpace. And, God, who? What about the best thing about MySpace is you could put a song on there, and everybody had to hear how bad a taste in music you had.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jace, thank you very much for coming by. You're welcome anytime, as you know.
Thanks for having me.
And all those topics you have it planned for your podcast are all things that interest me. So it seems only fair that you have me on your podcast as well.
I'll need your guidance and help. So
no problem. Happy to do it. All right. For those of you listening, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to do so. Hope you have a great day, and of course, we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.